I wanted to mention a few things and about the previous room that I was in and some of us were in. I wasn't sure what he was saying. It sounded to me like Greg said that Romans was written in Acts 19, verse 20. Was he saying that, or was he saying in around Acts 19 or 20? Did anybody get a sense of that? I looked at Acts 19, verse 20, and it doesn't look like there's a gap there or a rest period. Doesn't look like it to me that he would write it in. However, there is one in Acts 20, verse 3, and that's where I attribute the book of Romans to have been written, the epistle to the Romans. So that's one thing I wanted to mention. I don't know that it makes any difference. I just trying to be accurate, not divisive. It doesn't, nothing hinges on it. I stopped listening close. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's hard to keep listening when there's things that they don't see that they talk about. Anyway, we're not the ones. Let me just say, too, if it is written in Acts 19, any time after Acts 18, verse 22, it doesn't really make any difference. Yeah, Jordan Ayers. The Jordan Ayers, that's the group that backed up Elvis Presley, right? And the Jordan Ayers. I don't know if he was there. I don't think Richard was there then, though. But it doesn't make any difference because Paul said in Romans 1, 5, is it? Let me look it up. I think it's Romans 1, 5. Yeah. He says, we have... Now, assuming that this was written, Romans was written in the time period of Acts 18, verse 23. Just after, at some point after that temple vision, when Paul fled out of Jerusalem by the advice of God, the command of Jesus Christ in the temple vision, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. It says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. He received that apostleship there in that temple vision. I will send thee to far off to... I will send thee far hence to the Gentiles. Okay, and he'd already been sent to Gentiles, particular Gentiles, the ones that would provoke Israel to jealousy. So any time after that second sending, when he could have written, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. He was just waiting for that actual sending, because in his apostleship it said, Christ said, I will send you, not I am sending you. So, and he got that in Acts 20, verse 6, when he sailed away from Macedonia, according to Philippians 4:15. So, that's one thing. I got four things listed here. I don't know if we have time for all this, but we're not the ones that believe that pre-prison epistles are not to the body of Christ. So, he's talking about somebody else, or else he's mistakenly talking about us with a mistake in his information. We don't believe that the pre-prison epistles are not written to the body of Christ. They are. I don't think he understands the difference between the scriptural dispensation of the gospel and the scriptural dispensation of the grace of God, though. They're both in the body of Christ, though. So, just so if anybody was thinking that that's us that he's talking about, it's not, unless if he's making a mistake in his information. Paul didn't replace Peter. Paul did not replace Peter, as it sounded like to me, like he was saying. Peter remains the only one with the keys to the kingdom. He remains the Some don't think he said. Peter is going to be, you know, in one of those thrones judging the tribes of Israel. It's not that that Paul replaced Peter, or that the body of Christ, Israel transitioned into the body of Christ, or something that they talk about. I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. It's the ending of Israel, not without a resurrection of Israel. There's going to be a resurrection of Israel, but at the time there in Acts, it was an ending of Israel, and it was the beginning of a new creation. Christ, the head and the body. So that's what I think about what he said about the Paul replacing Peter. He did not replace Peter. And I just want to... He's going to talk next week about there being only one sending, which seems incomprehensible to me, how he could not see what's plainly in Scripture there. I'm going to read the first 24 verses, and then we'll get into the lesson here from Alex. But that's a worm. If it's in Scripture, I can't see how it's a worm. Welcome, Black Hole. Acts 22, I'm going to read the first 24 verses. So here we go. Oh, you know what? Hold on. Let me get another. I got this one verse at a time poster up. I got to get my Theophilus. All right. Starting with verse 1. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear my defense which I make unto you, which I make now unto you. And then in parenthesis he says, and when they heard that he spake in Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence and said, and that's the end of the parenthesis, this is Paul speaking, I'm very verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. Punished for what? For believing that Jesus was the Christ. Verse 6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell to the ground and heard, notice it doesn't say anything about horses there, he could have been on a horse, most likely he was, but he could have been on foot at the time, fell to the ground. It just, you know, I hear people talking about the horses, and I don't see any horses in the text. So, and I fell to the ground, unto the ground, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecutest. And they that were with me saw the light indeed, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke unto me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all the things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldst know his will, and see that just one, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. And I let me just draw attention before we go on to the first one of those, that thou shouldst know his will. It was the will that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That thou shouldst know his will, okay? I think he knew about salvation at least at that point, that he was not a dead man for having committed the unforgivable sin and realizing that that was Jesus. Going on, though, verse 15, And thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And we get a little more information on that in Acts 26, verse 16, I think it is. Seen, and in the which I will appear unto thee, I think the Lord adds. Verse 16, And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass. So that's the end of that account there. There's a period there. But verse 17 goes on, and it came to pass. You know, that's like saying long ago and far away. It's telling an event here now. He says, It came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, in other words, not the same visit, not the same time, when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. So here he's in Jerusalem, not in Damascus. And I saw him saying unto me, Make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And remember, Gentiles was all that there was in the world besides those Jews that he was one of and that he spoke to early. So, far hence unto the Gentiles implies, the furthest extent. Not just the Gentiles that would provoke Israel to jealousy. Going on to verse 22, And they gave him audience unto this word, Gentiles, Goyim for them, meaning all kinds of Gentiles, not just the Greek Gentiles, not just those covenant benefit claiming Gentiles. They gave him audience to this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth! It's not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. That's verse 24, and it goes on, you know. But he was taken into custody there, and I believe he was in custody until the end of Acts, until his execution. This is in Acts 22:24 that he's taken into custody, Roman Empire custody. I did want to add something that I was going to say earlier and had forgotten and couldn't think of it. Anyway, just like it doesn't matter as far as the doctrine, it doesn't change any of the doctrine if Romans was written earlier than I take it to be written. I take it to be written in Acts 20, verse 3. But if it was written in Acts 19, it's still after the temple vision. So that Romans 1, verse 5, that he received apostleship already, it's he received that apostleship before he wrote Romans. And so it doesn't mess with any of the doctrines or the timing. It doesn't dispute the timing of the temple vision being in Acts 18, verse 22. Well, likewise, we had talked about another feature earlier in the same idea, in the same parallel thought to this, but it doesn't make a doctrinal difference if someone thinks, if they think in their head, you know, they've got the idea that Paul's second sending, which I take to be in Acts 22, verses 17 to 21, if they think that is somehow in Acts 9, it doesn't make a doctrinal difference. What matters is when Christ actually sent. Remember in that, let me post that verse. When Christ actually sent Paul, he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee. That's a future sending yet from the temple vision. Future from the temple vision. I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. So he's reciting this, and he's telling what happened in his temple vision, which we've narrowed down to be the fourth visit to Jerusalem, which was in Acts 18:22, the extremely brief accounting of it, which, you know, verse 18, let me go back to 18 there, denotes it would have to be a brief visit for this to be true. And saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. So Paul did leave in a hurry, and you've got a very brief accounting of it there in Acts 18:22, which I can, just about got it here. Let me post that so you can see with your own eyes what the scripture says. And when he had landed at Caesarea, that's down at the seacoast from Jerusalem, and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. Now, it doesn't say here that he was warned by Christ to get out because they won't receive it, but it does say when Paul recited the account to the people there in Acts 22. So, it happened. Paul was revealing what happened actually in Acts 20, verse 6, when he sailed away from Macedonia. But let's say that you think, or there are some people, and then next Monday they're going to tell us about it, he said. They think that it's in Acts 9 that this Acts 22, verse 18, verses 17 to 21, that commission there, that future commissioning, they think it's in Acts 9. That doesn't matter. What does matter? Well, it does matter, actually, because the scriptures are pretty clear in the transition there in verse 17. But from 16 to 17. Acts 22, verses 16 and 17 can't be in the same place. Can't both be in Damascus. He says it when I came again to Jerusalem. But the point is that Acts 20, when he was actually sent to all people, is after this temple vision that we see here in Acts 18:22, but it's also after Acts 9. So it would still be a future sending, so it doesn't matter doctrinally that they think it's in Acts 9. The future sending was in Acts 20, verse 6, and you can see that. I've showed you the others. Let me just show you this. Paul says it was the beginning of a gospel. Well, he had been preaching the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Romans 1:16, which is what we use today, the 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. But here he says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia. So there he pinpoints the beginning of this gospel that he preaches now. He pinpoints it as being when he departed from Macedonia. Acts 16:12 says that Philippi is a major city in the province of Macedonia. And so when we look at Acts 20, verse 6, it's the only place that fits. And we see, let me just post it here. It says, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Troas is where the only place mentioned in the Bible that he preached all night long. He had a lot to tell them. So that's when we take this change to have occurred, a change in his commissioning, his sending, that he was sent further to all people, not just to the Jews and the Greeks and the synagogues. And this is also after Acts 9. If they want to think that the commission there, the second sending from Acts 22, verses 17 to 21, if they want to think that's in Acts 9, it doesn't change the doctrine, because he was still going to the Jew first and also to the Greek until you get to Acts 20, verse 6, and then he summarizes it in verse 21, Acts 20, 21, what he had been preaching. Where is it? Something covered this up. Let me just... Acts 20, 21... his summary of his previous mission there, before his second sending, he says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God, or the gospel of God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ. So that's what he was teaching up until his second sending, which occurred, what would it be, 15 verses before this. And then 3 verses after this, in the same context, same series of verses, he goes ahead and he tells what his new ministry is that Christ gave him. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy. That's the course that he had, that he had been under. And, something else too here, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's to all people. That's what he talks about in Titus 2:13, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And that's quite different from what he said here in Acts 13 about that same saving message, but it's called by a different name. He said, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. He's saying that in the synagogue to the Jews and the men there, those that feared God, that were Gentiles that feared God. That's the Greeks that sought the benefits of Genesis 12:3. I will bless them that bless thee. It does. I know a lot of people say they were in the covenants. I don't see that they're in the covenant there. I see that they benefit from Israel's covenant. The covenant was with Israel. But at that time, in Acts 13, unto you is the word of this salvation sent. It was sent to the Jews and to the Greeks. the men and the brethren, the children of the stock of Abraham, and those and whosoever among you feareth God. Pardon me. So, have fellowship. Don't divide over this. Just be aware of what the scripture says. You know, and if they don't see those scriptures, that's they're still brothers in Christ. They're still part of the body of Christ, building up the body of Christ together with us. Let's not separate.